The book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Amen. Verse 6. Say amen when you get there. Did a little bit of looking online before I read the word. We just passed September 11th, the memorial for those that were killed on September 11th. And there was an airplane that went down in Pennsylvania, crashed in a field, nosedived right into the field. But some of the men on board said, we're just not gonna let these folks do whatever they want to do. And he said, we're going to storm the cockpit and we're going to take over this plane, even though none of them knew how to fly. And as they were fighting, the plane went down. But before they began to fight, one of the men said, are you guys ready? Let's roll. That was his last words. Very profound words there. I did a little bit more reading, found Leonardo da Vinci's last words. Anybody ever heard those? He did all the paintings in the Sistine Chapel and all that. He said, I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. That was his last words. Ludwig von Beethoven. Beethoven, the great singer, composer rather. He said, applaud, my friends. The comedy is finished. That was his last words. Doesn't really make me feel too good. Leonard Nimoy, and for you young ones, I won't even go into who he was. But his last words were, a life is a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved except in memory. These are the words of men. And then, Maybe I shouldn't read this one, but it's a last quote. Jack Daniel's last quote. One last drink, please. That was his last words. I hope that I can have some last words that are a little bit better than those. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the last words are ones that everybody remembers. It's not necessarily all the talking that you do in your life, but it's the thing that you say at the very end that makes the difference. Amen. I want to talk about our Lord's last words here tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen. The last thing that he said. Let's pray and let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight, can we? Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for the presence of the Lord that we have felt in this place. And I ask you to anoint the word of God to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated. I want to remind everyone, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Everybody said 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, the youth rally is going to begin right here at the church. And if I could get some of these young men to help me or do the work, we need a few of the tables brought out of this closet and brought out into the Sunday school area afterwards. We need 5 of them, I believe. Four tables, all right, 4 of the big tables. Sister Worse will help you with that, show you what to do. Somebody said amen. 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 You know, as it was with the disciples here, the Bible says, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And as they were, we are today very interested in Bible prophecy. It seems like the signs of the times demand that we look ever so closely to His coming. And I suppose it's been this way from the very beginning, all the way through the history of the church, the last 2,000 so years. And when tragedies occur, we look to the sky, don't we? When difficulties come, we look to the sky and we say, we must be the generation of His coming. I suppose the Christians that Paul wrote to in Rome felt this way when they experienced some 50 to 60,000 of their brothers and sisters fed to the lions in the Colosseum. 50 to 60,000. I wonder what we would be saying about our walk with God and about the end times if we were experiencing that right now. Not only that, it was required at that point in time that everyone come before the officials with a pinch of incense and put it upon the fire to give incense or to bow down to the Roman Empire. Amen. And those that did not were killed, or they were fed to the lions. Amen. I'm sure they probably thought, the Lord's got to be coming real soon. This is bad. And that's what I hear a lot of folks saying today. Not to mention, after this point in time, the systematic capture and torture and killing of some 60 million people, during the Inquisitions by the Roman Catholic Church, because Rome, the official belief of Rome was changed at one point to now it is Christian, but it was not Christian, it was political, and I'm sure they felt that way. I remember talking to some of the elders that went through World War II. there were many in the day of World War II that felt like Hitler was the Antichrist, and that he was rising up and he was going to take over the world, and certainly that was his goal and that was his effort. And since then, we've experienced global terrorism, the destruction of Christian churches in many Muslim countries. Read just yesterday that China has embarked upon a new campaign, and churches that are not sponsored by the state are destroyed. People are hauled off. They destroy the homes where they're having churches. I'm sure the folks in those countries are feeling like, surely the Lord is coming soon, because we're losing everything we've got. And we have signs of the times all around us. Well, it was true in the early church with the apostles of Jesus. They had seen Him crucified, and they went down through a very low valley at that point. And they were right in the big middle of Roman persecution. It is said that the apostle Paul and the apostle Peter both died in Rome under the hand of the Romans, and there were many, many negative things, I guess, if you want to look at it from a worldly standpoint, very negative things that were taking place all around them. And they contrary to what some have said, and I've come a little bit closer to this, to understanding this doctrine of preterism, which means that it is already past, that the resurrection is already past. But contrary to what they say, and what they say is that the apostles knew everything, because in the scriptures it says He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And yet it does not jive with the scripture that we read tonight in the book of Acts chapter 1, where it says, "Will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And this was right before His ascension. And so they should have known, if that is true, all about Bible prophecy and all about the coming of the Lord and all of that. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus even said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Amen. Jesus even admitted that he did not know the very day of the coming of the Lord. Amen. And the apostles knew something was happening. They saw the resurrection. The reason they were so on fire for God was because they had seen the resurrection. They had seen him crucified. They had seen him rise again from the dead. And they were so thrilled and so excited about this real experience. Does anybody have that real experience tonight? Amen, Pastor. Amen. I'm really excited tonight. I am excited. Amen. It's what's on the inside that makes the difference. Amen. And the disciples knew the signs of the times as we do. They wrote about them. They were given revelations. But even in the revelation, there were things that John the apostle did not understand that God was giving to him. There were many of them, the mark of the beast, many of them today, the blood moons and the solar eclipses. I asked one elder minister, I said, what do you think about the blood moons and all of that? He said, doesn't mean anything. I said, well, what is your understanding of the moon will turn to blood? And he hesitated. He said, I guess it means it's going to turn to literal blood. Well, if it does, we'll know that we are at the day of the coming of the Lord. But we look at persecution. Persecution that includes beheadings in our day today, in their day today, in their day as well. Prophetic timelines and other signs are before us that we've got to look at and we need to answer. And this does not put down Bible prophecy, but the last words of Jesus in answering the question, is it the time now? Is it the time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They thought that God was going to restore political and religious and governmental authority to Israel, and that he would get the Romans off of their back. Here they were at the ascension. Here they were. They had already gone through all of these things, and they're still asking these basic questions. Is it time? Amen. Is it the time of your wrapping everything up and all of that? And Jesus said, you know what? That's important, and it doesn't bypass or relegate prophecy to a lower level, but it places it in the chain of important things. And his answer to them was, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Praise God. The most important thing, folks, is the last words that the Lord gave us. Amen. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Get full of the Holy Ghost. That'd be the first one right there. And then stay full of the Holy Ghost. You know, there's some things I want you to know, he said. And there are some things that many today are going in another direction. Amen. They are focused solely and completely. I meet them all the time. I hear of you talking about them on a regular basis, of folks that are delving into different aspects of Bible prophecy and trying to figure out timelines, trying to figure out Daniel's 70 weeks, and trying to figure out the prophecies or the visions that Ezekiel saw, trying to figure out the book of Revelation, going to all sorts of YouTube spots with all sorts of crazy things on there. Listen, I'm telling you what, just because it's on YouTube doesn't mean it's true. And chances are it's not. Amen. I do try to keep up with things, and one fellow was witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses, and I was looking at that, and when it all got done, he kind of had me going in his direction a little bit, but I knew where he was coming from because he had a little ponytail behind him, and I kind of had an idea what was about to happen. And finally he said, listen, you got to know God in a personal relationship. Baptism doesn't mean anything. And I just reached over and turned it off. Amen. Because he doesn't understand the basics of salvation. Does not understand the basics of what it means to have a relationship with God. Amen. What it means to live for God. The Bible says that it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Well, praise the Lord. And yet we accept that in the Christian realm nowadays. And popular singers and so forth can have their long hair and get up and worship the Lord and say it is Christian. But it isn't. Amen. Because there is a proper order to living for God. And maybe they don't understand is the reason, and I pray that's what it is. But we get caught up in this prophetic thing, and we dig into the church fathers, and we dig into all of the history books, and we dig into all kinds of things, amen, until when we look up in the sky, we're looking for a planet that's going to come and crash into the earth, when all around us there are people that are lost and going to a devil's hell. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not against prophecy. You know that. I believe in the coming of the Lord. I know that the signs of the times are right with us. When they begin to put chips in people's hands for financial transactions, my friend, if we're not awake, amen, we're not going to see this. But if you've got a little bit of understanding about God, you'll know we are at the last of the last days. Amen. Brother Elder Nathaniel Urshan preached a message about the coming of the Lord, and he made the statement that we are in the last of the last of the last days. And that was back before 2000, before the year 2000. Almost 20 years ago, they believed that they were in the last of the last of the last days. I believe that that's where we are as well. Amen. I believe that we can look at all of the signs of the times that are around us, and all of the things that are happening around us, and we can surely say the Lord is coming soon. Amen. But it is not in Bible prophecy that we maintain, or that where we get our excitement on a daily basis, and where we live for God on a daily basis. Oh, it is exciting in some ways when you see things happening before your very eyes. Things that I remember back in 1974 when I first gave my life to God, that the big thing was EFT. They're starting an EFT, electronic funds transfer. And we said, this is the mark of the beast right here. This is what is happening, and it's taking place right now. You can electronically transfer funds, and there's no need for cash. Oh my, we just knew the Lord was coming right then. Amen. 1974. And it was just a few years later that we attended a revival service, and the preacher had everybody all stirred up, had them believing that the Lord was coming in April of that year, and folks were coming to the altar. It was very stirring, and so on and so forth. But I'm really wondering how many years afterwards were those people living for God. I'm telling you, you got to have more than just a momentary excitement about some prophetic utterance. Amen. What we've got to get down to is what is important. And I believe what is important in a higher level, not that it is not important, is that we understand what is associated with the end times. Amen. Because Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so they did. They received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. Praise God. That's what we need in our generation today. Amen. And they said, what is this? We don't know what's going on here. And people came around and they said, these folks are drunk. They're having a drunken party. I feel like this message is going to speak to somebody. If not anyone here tonight, I really feel like it may even speak to someone that tunes in to our website. But I'm telling you today, you've got to have the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the Holy Ghost, and you've got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not enough to come to church. Somebody said amen. Praise God. It's not enough just to clap your hands. It's not enough just to dress right and look right. But I'll tell you what it is important that we have the Holy Ghost. Because when we have the Holy Ghost, we have the power of God inside of us. And when we have the power of God, we can go through Bible prophecy. Praise the Lord. When we go through this tonight, there's a number of places where the Lord spoke His final words. Amen. And it says, but here in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, verse 16, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Everybody said the last days. In the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. And then he said, the sun will be turned to darkness in verse 20, the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. He did not discount Bible prophecy, but he put it in the proper order. Amen. He put it in the right place, and the right place is, that is the first thing we need to get taken care of. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. I guess if we just start in the Gospels here, Matthew 28. I'm not going to preach a long time, but I want to try to stir somebody's heart and try to stir someone to get serious about living for God. Amen. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Amen. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach. Everybody said teach. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Everybody said the name of the Father, that would be Jesus. And the name of the Son, that would be Jesus. And the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that amen is not in red, it is in black. That was the end of that book. Amen. This was right before he ascended into heaven. And so we understand then, number one, when we look at the most important things, the last words of Jesus, he said here, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so the first thing that we've got to get a hold of is an understanding of who is in control. It was in the same area of time. It was in the same meeting place. It was all, this is Matthew's rendition. Mark's is coming up. Luke's is coming up. The book of Acts, which again is Luke, who was the writer. While he's talking to them and giving them his last words, he wanted them to know, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. So it is a connection. In English, is that a conjunction? Is that something that combines the two together? Over here we have unlimited power, and over here it says go into the world and be a witness. Amen. Go ye therefore, because of what I just said, now I want you to understand the importance of what you must do. Amen. He didn't say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and I'm coming soon, and these will be the signs of the times. No, he said, you're going to have power in order to do the will of God. Any church that is doing the will of God is a church that has to have the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about programs. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about touching God. I'm talking about the anointing tonight that we must desperately have in our gatherings together. Amen. A program is not going to bless you. Amen. Maybe in a little bit, but it's not going to help you when you're in your deepest, darkest hour. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Your wisdom that you've found in your books is not going to help you. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life, because when you do, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when Christ is in you, the one who has all power in heaven and where? In earth. All power in heaven and in earth. Amen. Did you know tonight he has the power to fill someone with the Holy Ghost? Did you know tonight he has the power to heal tonight? Did you know that he has the power to do anything he wants to do? Amen. Well, praise God. I'm telling you, what we've got to have is the Holy Ghost in our lives. And that is the last words that he gave to his disciples and that he gave to us. Amen. He is God manifest in flesh. Praise God. When we say God, we say the Almighty. When we say God, we say the Ancient of Days. When we say God, we say the one who always was and who always will be. Amen. When we say God, we say the one who is able not only to kill our body, but to destroy us in hellfire for all of eternity. We are talking about God who is going to make a new Jerusalem. Amen. A place where there will be streets of gold and gates of pearls, where we will live with him for all of eternity. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Amen. Our God is alive tonight. You may not feel much alive tonight, but our God is alive and well. Praise the Lord. He doesn't have to take medication. He doesn't need supplements. Amen. He doesn't need a B12 shot every now and then to keep him going. Praise God. We do, because we are not all powerful, but he is all powerful tonight, and he holds everything in his hand. Everything was created by him, and by him all things consist. Amen. Everything is held up by the word of his power. Amen. Everything, you and I, this building, our world, the universe, everything is held up by the word of his power. Praise God. What do we need? We don't necessarily need to understand Bible prophecy. I have seen folks that have gone astray into strange and weird doctrines. A very precious lady that I know still loves the Lord and still goes to church. We even lived in her house for a month or two when we were in transition in Boston. Her and her husband got into study in the book of Revelation, and they said in the book of Revelation, everything is symbolic. There is nothing that is literal. And they would get together and they would read in the book of Revelations. I said, you mean it's not a literal hell? She said, that's right, it's not a literal hell. I'm telling you what, folks, we can't get off the track of what's most important in living for God. There is a literal hell. Amen. Some things in Revelation are symbolic. Yes, they are. The beast that comes out of the sea is not a real beast that climbs out of the sea. It is symbolic. Amen. But when it talks about the white throne judgment of God, friend, I'm telling you, that's literal. We're going to stand before the white throne judgment of God, and you and I are going to give an account for what we've done in this life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Amen. What that means, church, is that we have the power to go ye therefore. Praise God. Amen. Excuses are not going to fly in the face of God. Reasons and excuses why we can't, why we don't, why this, that, and the other is not going to. It's not going to be good. Amen. We can't take what we have received and put it into a napkin and bury it in the ground. No, but we've got to take the treasure of our master. Amen. The treasure, the talents that he has given to us. And we've got to put them to use. We've got to put them to work. Well, what if I fail? Well, then you just join the rest of us. Amen. What if I end up losing some? Well, join the rest of us. Amen. But I'm telling you what, we're not doing this on our own. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I don't want to get off onto things here tonight. But somebody said, well, I can't teach a Bible study. I'm not a salesman like you are. Listen, I'm not a salesman, and I've never been a salesman, and I'm not going to get off onto something that I don't need to be getting off onto. Amen. I'll tell you what I am. I'm a sower of the treasure that has been given to me. That's all I am. Amen. I teach people that are smarter than me. I couldn't, as you know, some people, my brother-in-law, he could sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo. Amen. He was that good of a salesman. But I'm not a salesman tonight. I'm not standing up here tonight as an orator. I'm not standing up here tonight as proclaiming that I'm wiser than anybody here tonight. But I'll tell you what I have. I have something that has been given to me, and it is powerful. Amen. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Praise the Lord. It's not, you're not going to win somebody by just talking about prophecy and the coming of the Lord. You might scare them for a few days, but I found that sinners, they will avoid you if you start talking about those things because they don't want to hear about it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what's most important is the thing that's going to help them in their personal life. We've got to repent of our sins. We've got to be baptized in his name to get rid of that past and be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues just like they did. Praise God. Amen. Go ye therefore into all the world. Teach all nations. Amen. Well, is it going to fall on deaf ears? No. Baptizing them. Amen. Teaching them to observe. And so it's not just a matter of repenting and baptizing them and them receiving the Holy Ghost. We have to teach them to observe. Amen. We have to teach the importance of following through in your walk with God. Amen. It didn't say teaching them the signs of the times. That all comes along with it. Amen. But teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. One of the things that's sticking out in my mind tonight is the scripture where Jesus said, if any man, and I think he included the ladies as well, if any man does not hate his father and mother and brothers and sisters and husband and wife, he cannot be my disciple. That doesn't mean that we have to hate one another. That's not what he was making reference to. But he was talking about putting your life into the hand of God. Praise the Lord. There's nothing you're going to save by getting rid of Jesus and the church in your life. Well, praise the Lord. You're not going to gain anything by giving up the truth of the Word of God in order to gain something somewhere else. Amen. But what we need to do is teach to observe whatsoever I have commanded you, and then I am with you all the way to the end of the world. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. And Mark 16 and verse 14. Here's another few of his last words. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, and I'm hurrying here tonight, as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That was the first thing out of his mouth. He did not start out with signs and wonders. He did not start out with miracles. Amen. You know, living for God is really, it's really quite simple. Amen. Some feel like the only way they're ever going to do anything for God is to get into a ministry of divine healing. Or if they get into a ministry, and there are many that have had that ministry, and thank God for them. Amen. There are many, actually. My pastor was one of them, and I saw many miracles in his ministry. And I thank God for that opportunity. But he didn't start out with that. He started out with becoming a believer. Amen. Because listen to me tonight, and you're here, so it's not going to bother you. Amen. Being a believer means that you follow through with the Word of God and you obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. Amen. Being a believer means that you're a part of the church. We've got a lot of scattered believers everywhere. Oh, I'm a believer, but I don't have to do anything. I'm a believer, but I don't have to make any commitments. I'm a believer, but I don't have to give anything out of my life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, it comes down. It doesn't matter if the Lord's coming tomorrow or if he's coming tonight. Are you ready to go right now to meet him? Do you know him? Amen. Have you been born again of the water and of the Spirit? Praise God. Because if you can't, or if you haven't, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And he said, go and baptize them. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, go and preach the gospel. Amen. And so he rebuked them for their unbelief. God help us. I think that's the thing that we fight the most in our modern generation is unbelief. Amen. We lean on this, that, and the other because of our prosperity. Amen. But we've got to have belief in God and in the commandment to do his will. Go and preach the gospel. The gospel, amen. Somebody help me tonight. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved outside of the gospel. And in fact, Paul stated in one place, we are saved by obedience to the gospel. How do I obey something that's just a statement? He died, he was buried, and he rose again. We obey it by dying with him, by being buried with him, and by rising with him. You got to have all three if you're going to have the gospel experience in your life. Amen. And so we die with him in repentance. We are buried with him in baptism. Romans 6 and 6, Romans 6 and 4, and that we may rise with him to walk in a newness of life. Amen. Romans 6 and 4. Talk about the Roman road to salvation. There's a lot of folks that talk about that. But the Roman road to salvation is the gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to me tonight. The most important thing is his last words. And he said, go and preach the gospel. If we get off of the gospel message, if we forget that our neighbor needs the gospel, if we forget that our co-workers need the gospel, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. God has a revival for me as an individual. I want to do my part to share the gospel. Amen. And it doesn't matter how educated or uneducated a person is. Amen. They have a soul and they need God desperately in their lives. And who has the gospel? We have the gospel. Amen. We have been given the precious word of God. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. We've been given the precious word of God. Amen. And we're not going to get caught up in all kinds of things, folks. It's harvest time. Amen. I don't know what feast it is today in the Jewish calendar. Amen. I don't know what's about to happen in all of those things, but I do know this, that if the Lord comes tonight, there's going to be a lot of folks in this world that are lost living right around me. And they can decide to do that, but I must be a witness to them and share the truth with them if I have the opportunity. Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, and I'm going to finish with this. It says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's the one I just spoke of earlier. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins comes in baptism. So he was saying that repentance and baptism should be preached in his name, in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of Jesus among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Praise God. That's what he said. He didn't go into all kinds of, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? Is this ripe for this to take place? And so on and so forth. Hey, I'm telling you what, we've got a gospel that God has given to us. It's right in the big middle of that talent that God gave to you. Amen. If you have one talent, then you have the gospel. If you have five talents, you've got the gospel and maybe a personality to go with it. Amen. And you can help people and you can reach out to people. And maybe you've got a teaching talent that goes along with that. Amen. Maybe you've got a financial talent that goes along with that. Amen. There's lots of talents that we can have. But the base one is the first one that's given to you. And the first one that's given to us is the gospel. Amen. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we teach in Sunday school, somebody help me tonight. We teach the gospel. Praise the Lord. When we preach the Word of God, we preach the gospel. When somebody says, what's different about you when you're working on the job? You can tell them, I have the gospel in my life. Well, what does that mean? Then you can begin to talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And maybe the subject of prophecy will come up, and you can talk about that. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm not going to walk around with a T-shirt that says, whatever about prophecy. I've read these different T-shirts that people have. And I think, my goodness, I know exactly where you're coming from. Caught up in all of this. But it is not the will of God for us to go out and sound the trumpet of Bible prophecy. Because I'll tell you what, in all the years of living for the Lord, I've heard a number of them. And I can't say tonight I've heard it all, because somebody will come along with a new philosophy or doctrine about Bible prophecy. But I've heard so many that have said, he's coming in this year, he's coming in this year, he's coming here, and here's the reasons, and here's all of this. I remember one camp meeting way, way back in the late 70s. The preacher was talking about the Jupiter effect and how all the planets were going to line up with each other. And what he failed to realize was that those planets line up with each other quite regularly. But there's going to be tidal waves because of the magnetic pull upon the earth, and the earth is going to be thrown out of its axis. Now we've got Nibiru, or whatever the name of it is, and it's a planet that's exactly on the opposite side of the sun from us, and so we can't see it, and it's going to come around the sun, and it's going to crash into the earth. Maybe that's going to happen, but you know what? People discount us when we go off into all kinds of weird things. The government's doing this. The government's doing that. You know, they've made all these plastic coffins, 500,000 plastic coffins, and they're stacked up. It's really happened. And they're stacked up, and they made a compound where nobody is, and that's where they're going to put all the preachers. And maybe it will take place. But it's not the first time it's ever taken place. They killed all the apostles of Jesus, except for John, and they tried real hard to do him. They threw him in a pot of boiling oil, but he didn't die, so they just put him on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, what we've got tonight is precious. I know you know that, but it is precious. Amen. He told them in Acts 2, I read Acts 2, verse 1 through 4, where they received the Holy Ghost. But then in verse 37, they said unto him, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? I want to preach to somebody tonight. I want to finish up here tonight by saying, if you're a wise person, you will say, what shall I do? What do I need to do? Amen. What am I going to do with this gospel? They said, what shall we do? Well, Peter didn't say, you're going to have to go through a Bible course on end time prophecy. It sounds like I'm putting prophecy down, but I'm not. You're going to have to go through a Bible lesson on the standards of holiness. No, he didn't say that. He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What is this? This is what Joel talked about. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. That's what the Lord wants to do in our life. That's what the Lord wants to do in our generation. Amen. Because our generation needs God. Amen. There are many more that are wanting to just find out what is real. They're tired of living the way they've lived. They don't have any answers for the future. I know it's difficult. I don't have my head in the sand tonight. I know it's difficult. I know there are many, many today that have a very difficult time comprehending simple things. But I'm telling you, we have an opportunity before us in this generation to reach out and to talk to people about the Lord. Amen. Annette, I appreciate what you're doing. Amen. She came to me tonight. She saw the little flyer, the new flyers on the back over there. She said, I got a new friend. Got a new friend. Yeah, somebody just moved in down there, and she's my new friend. So I'm going to tell her what's available to her if she wants to come to church. Amen. You know what? Those folks need the Lord.
That's right.
Old Bert, he comes to the Bible study, and he's hunched over. He falls asleep halfway through the Bible study. And you'd say, well, he's just an old man, and he's not very smart and all this. But no, I'll tell you what, he was a sergeant in the Army in the Korean War, and he was on the front lines. And I'll tell you, there wasn't very many of them that came back home. And he was a leader of men. But now he's sitting in a wheelchair, and others have to take care of him. He's got a soul, my friend. Those young people that you're around at school, they need God in their lives. Your co-workers, Brother Troy, your co-workers, Brother Reed, everybody that we run into in the grocery store, amen, they need Jesus in their lives. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Praise God. Isn't it good to know the Lord?
Amen.
Do you know what will really keep you excited about living for God? Is when you reach out to somebody and you help them, and their life has changed. Something takes place in their life. Don't get discouraged. Don't even start to get discouraged about talking to people. It's just, I've learned that it's just about as natural as anything in life. It's just natural. It can happen so naturally. Amen. Somebody on the job can say, you know, I'm just going through a difficult time. And you know, I found that people in the world, they're just ready to tell about anybody their troubles.
Amen.
Have you noticed that? They don't have a lot of discretion. They'll just tell anybody about their troubles, and they'll go into a long thing about, you know what, that's your open door right there. And you don't have to pull out your Bible. You don't have to have a, you know, walk around with a big Bible. I'm the answer man. You don't even have to have the answer. You don't even have to know what to tell them. Praise God. Except that Jesus loves them. And you'll pray for them if they would like it. Amen. I can get you somewhere where you can get some help. Praise God. And the help cometh from the Lord. Let's be witnesses. Let's be witnesses for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God and for the message of truth. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the treasure in earthen vessels, the excellency that you have placed in us, the power that you have given to us. Help us, Lord, not to become sidetracked with job and school and life and everything else that we just get so caught up in it that our world goes to hell around us. Lord, help us to really see our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to really see our co-workers and our friends that are around us. Help us, Lord, to really see them as you see them. And use us. Use us, Lord. Use us while we have the opportunity to be used. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise?